Praise the Lord. Welcome to our prayer line, our Wednesday prayer line, and I'm excited that you all could join in. So as we are in the presence of God for a few minutes, let us quickly turn to the Word of God. Tonight, our topic, as I've already mentioned, is called Selfless in Visionary Giving. So just to recap, over the past days, we have been going through a sermon series called Visionary Church, where we are looking at the vision that our Lord Jesus has for the church. We are looking at the vision that God, that the Lord has. And after that, we were looking at different aspects of the vision. So the first session, we looked at the vision of the supremacy of Jesus Christ. In the second session, we looked at the attributes of the visionary leadership of Jesus Christ. And at the third session, we looked at the visionary faith that we should have as a follower of Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, if you remember, we looked at visionary giving. And the visionary giving should be an output of our life as a follower of Jesus Christ. When we are a follower of Jesus, we will give out of generosity. And so that is on what we spoke on Sunday. This afternoon, we are going to look a little more deeper of how we can be selfless in visionary giving. So if you have your Bibles, I would like you to open to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians, adinte 8th adhyayam. We will read from verses 1 to verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to verse number 9. Can somebody who has a Bible open, can you please read those verses? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 9. This is a part of Apostle Paul writing his second letter to the Church of Corinth, and he is speaking about the churches of Macedonia. And the title, if you see, it is saying excel in giving. Kodukkunnil nammala, we have to excel in giving. And that was basically what Paul is speaking about. And then he is bringing the case of Christ, who is our pattern of giving. So as I'm going into the topic, I just want to just open up a quiz. You don't need to answer, but let me ask you a question, okay? Something which is very simple. When we talk about giving, I want to ask a quiz. It's just a pop quiz. It's very simple. So how many of you prefer the window seat in a plane? We are all traveling. How many of you like that? You don't have to say it. Just say it in your mind if you like a window seat. Or if I ask you, how many of you like the aisle seat, sitting at the aisle? And then the third question is, how many of you like the middle seat? Is there anybody among us who loves to have the middle seat with two people, one on the left and one on the right? Well, you don't have to answer me. You can answer to yourself. I'm not even asking you to respond. Something very interesting I want to share with all of you. So for all of those who love the window seats, okay, I have some news for you. The psychologists think that you are selfish, according to an article that came recently in the British newspaper, The Telegraph. So Dr. Becky Spellman, the chief psychologist at the private therapy clinic in London, said like this: passengers who favor the window seat like to be in control, tend to take an everyone for themselves attitude towards life, and are often most easily irritable. They would also like to nest and prefer to exist in their own bubble. I'm just quoting something that came out in the newspaper, okay? But don't worry, I mean, that's not all. You're not all done, because scientific studies have shown that all human beings are basically selfish. And to top it all, what they say is that men are generally more selfish than women as a rule. So studies shows that the male neural reward systems are more stimulated by self-centeredness, while a woman's brains react more soundly to pro-social behavior. So let me tell you what it means. In other words, women are more likely than men to get a rush by helping somebody else. While men are more focused on surviving, women are more focused on helping others to survive. And if those men who are in really good shape, I'm talking physically, the news becomes more worse for them. Because research is showing that bigger muscles tend to have smaller hearts for other people. A recent paper in the Journal of Evolution and Human Behavior indicated that more muscular men are less likely to support the redistribution of wealth than guys who do not work out. So according to this study, the researchers from the Brunel University in London, the London School of Economics and Harvard University, this is what they found out, that when you spend more time in the gym, that is linked to more selfish socio-economic worldview. But let me just not stop there only. Men are not the only ones who are selfish, because a few years ago, a study revealed that women are less likely to answer the door when a charity call knock comes. Somebody is asking for money. Women are normally, they don't open the door at all. Or when it comes to dividing a chocolate bar, it says that women give almost themselves a bigger half than men do. I mean, this is all different studies. So after this is over, please don't blame me for all that I'm saying. It's nothing coming from me. I'm just revealing different studies that are coming up. They have not come from any university. They have come from surveys done by a British volunteering organization called Original Volunteer. So what I wanted to tell, the point is that we are intrinsically selfish creatures by our carnal nature. We are selfish. Talk about selfishness. You look at a child, as a child grows up, the child wants everything for himself or herself. They don't give it out. I mean, think about the best toy. The child will not share. Sharing does not come easily. And so when you think about our own lives, think about when was the last time that we were truly generous? When was the last time that we gave without counting the cost? Or the last time we did something selflessly out of giving to someone else? So having these thoughts in mind, let us come back to the Church of Corinth. So Apostle Paul is writing to them, describing about the other churches in Macedonia. And in verse number 2, this is what Paul writes, that poverty is overflowing in a wealth of generosity. It's not that these churches were very rich or they had a lot to spare, but they were generous in spite of their poverty. These churches were giving beyond their means. And they were maybe even begging for the privilege to share in the ministry of Apostle Paul. So this is what a selfless, being selfless in visionary giving is all about. It is not rational. It is not natural. It is irrational. It can only come through the power of God that can work in our life. So today evening, for a few minutes, I just want to briefly give you three views of generosity. There are three views of generosity, which is very interesting. I will equate that. The first one, I would say the generosity in a bag. Generosity in a bag. This is never enough. The verse that I want to bring about in this context is from the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 6, where this is what Haggai writes. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And you who earn wages, you are putting them in a bag with holes. That is what the prophet Haggai writes. And there are people who live in that way. They just can't move forward. They are always struggling. They live by paycheck to paycheck. They may want to be generous, but they feel they cannot afford to give out. They are deeply in debt. the rainy day fund is empty because they keep on using to pay the bills and pay for emergencies that keep on coming again and again. It seems that every day is a rainy day. They would love to tithe, they would love to give to God, but they never have enough in the bag. You know why? Because the bag has holes in it. Whatever you put in the bag, the thing is going from the back end. There is nothing that is remaining in the bag. This is called having a bag mindset, where you always, we can hear some people saying, hey, we don't have enough money, or, you know, money does not grow on trees, or, you know, we have to go without this and without that. So, you know, and then there is always that thing that life is unfair. They say, you know, that person has all the breaks. I work just as hard, but they are getting richer and I'm getting poorer. And that is what, you know, the tendency is to protect what we have, holding tight to what we have, not loosening up. It is calling my chocolate, my window seat, my time, my money. This is my bag. I cannot open it up. A good example of somebody who had that mentality in the Bible is Judas Iscariot. We know that he was the man with the purse among the disciples of Jesus. But we see something very remarkable when you turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Here we read about a woman who is giving Jesus a gift of a valuable perfume. So she is not holding anything back. She is giving everything. She had to, you know, she's opening up the container of the alabaster box. And once that container is opened, you cannot close it back again. So it is all or nothing. She is a very expensive ointment. It says that it was worth at least a 1 year of wages, the ointment that she poured upon Jesus. It was the most valuable possession that this woman owned. She may be saving it for dowry, or maybe for a future marriage, or and so giving it away would have spoiled the chances for the future. But what do we read here is that she poured it out to anoint Jesus. She did not hold anything back. But in that particular incident, we see Judas. He has a bag mentality. He operates out of scarcity. This is what he says. What a waste. This perfume could have been sold and the money could have been given to the poor. And Judas is actually putting it everything in a very hypothetical way. You could have sold. You could have done this. You could have done that. Why did you do this? But then you see his mentality, what he did, that he goes to the temple leaders and he makes a deal, and he sells his master for 30 silver coins. He's selling the Lord. He just had to have more in his bag. It was never enough. And so when we have this bag mentality, we hold on to it, what we have, tightly. We don't open our fist and we don't give it the way we ought to. And because of that, we never have enough. So first is the bag mentality. Let me go to the next way of thinking about generosity. I would call it the basket mentality. There is enough, just enough mentality. So this is also a mindset of scarcity. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is encouraging us to give above and beyond the world's expectation of generosity. If you read in Luke chapter 6, verse 31 to 38, there is a portion that says here, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." Jesus did not say, "Keep and it will be given to you." Jesus did not say, "Hoard and you will be blessed." Jesus said, "Give." Because, you know, this is a very important principle. If you are noting it down, what you keep is all that you have, but what you give is what God will multiply. Let me repeat again. What you keep is all that you have, but what you give is what God will multiply. And how will He multiply? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Let me quickly give an example from the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 17. We read about a story about a widow in Zarephath. She just had a little oil in the jar, a little flour in a basket. And that's why we call it a basket mentality. She had little flour in a basket. She goes out to gather some sticks for a fire because she can bake at least a little cake of bread for herself and her son before they die. And she runs into Prophet Elijah, who tells her to go and make a cake for him first, the man of God, and then use the rest for herself and her son. So what Elijah says is, give to God first, trust God first, and God will provide you what you need. The beautiful thing on that story is that this woman exactly does what Elijah tells her. She trusts Elijah. She offers the man of God the first bit of the food that she has left. And then when she does that, there is a miracle that happens. The basket of flour never runs out. See, there is always enough oil for just one more batch of bread. In 1 Kings 17:15, we read like this. She went and did as Elijah said, so that as well as he and her household ate for many days. So in this basket mentality, there is always enough, as long as we trust God and give him the part of whatever we have. And this is how the poor Macedonian churches saw their situation. It does not matter how much or how little they had, as long as their first gift, their first commitment was to the Lord. And we read in verses 3 and to 5 in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 like this. Apostle Paul writes, "For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. And this, not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord and by the will of God to us." You see, they gave themselves first to the Lord, not holding anything back, because they had a mission. They were passionate about it. They had a generous undertaking to complete. And so Apostle Paul encouraged the church of Corinth to join with the Macedonian churches in this mission with the same passion as the other churches have shown. And in verse 7, you read like this. "Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking, in giving." And this is a beautiful thing, because when we give to God, he will not allow us to suffer any lack or any hunger. I just want to come as to the third part, the third way how we look at generosity. And the third way is generosity in the barn. We saw generosity in the bag, generosity in the basket. Now I would say it is generosity in the barn. There is more than enough. You know, this is a mindset of abundance. There is way more than enough. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 9 and 10 reads like this. "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing." Your barns will be filled to overflowing when we honor God with our wealth, with the first fruit of our crops. See, God wants to be first in our lives. And that is why we read in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you." You know, we need to make the conscious decision to give first to God, and that honors him. Because giving is an act of worship. It's not only singing, not only raising our arms, not only speaking with our words, but giving is an act of worship. It goes back to the Old Testament, because God was telling Moses how to worship. In Exodus chapter 13, if you see, verse number 2, God said, "Dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites, the first offering to be born of both humans and animals, they belong to me. And when your sheep have lambs, give me the first. Don't wait until the 10th to see if you're going to have a good flock. The first belongs to God. Give him the first. Now think about this. Just think for a moment. Who is Jesus? He is the firstborn of God, the Lamb of God. God gave Jesus to redeem us from our sins, and God gave first his only begotten Son. Romans 5:8 tells us that God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God gave his own Son to us first, even before we knew that we needed it. It takes great faith to give first and believe that God's blessings will be more than enough to meet all our need. And I'm telling you this, God will bless us when we trust him. God promises to make our life rich and full if we trust him and make him first in our lives. God promises to bless us in a full measure, pressed down and overflowing. What God gives us is abundance, everything abundance, our life in abundance, our peace in abundance, our joy in abundance. This is what the mentality of God. He gives everything in abundance and overflowing. So let me just conclude here and close here. Let me ask you this question. If you have been operating from a mindset of scarcity, holding on to the little that you have because you are afraid that is not enough, I am just telling you this. Let go of your bag which is full of holes. If you have been operating from a basket mentality, just trusting enough to get by day, I will tell you that just there is something more than just enough that is available to you. We believe in a barn blessing, a big-hearted, a open-handed, a good and grace-filled God. We are serving a God who has in abundance everything. We believe in a God who does not hold anything back, who did not do that, but he gave up his only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life, abundant life, and that is what God has given us. And we believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who did not hold anything back, but gave himself freely for us. Let me close with the verses that we ended the portion at the beginning in verses 8 and 9. It says that in verse number 9 that about Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. You know, Jesus gave up his riches to become poor on our behalf. And when we trust in his riches, and when we trust in faith, through his poverty, we can be rich in everything that we need. So when you honor God with all that you have, you operate out of a barn mindset, trusting in the abundance of God. God did not hold anything back when he gave his Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Because he does not hold anything back, we should not hold anything back as well. Can we close our eyes to look to the Lord in prayer? Let us pray for a moment and think about our lives. What is the mindset that we are operating on? Is it out of scarcity? Are we always saying, I never have enough, I don't have? Or is it just enough to get by? Or is it a lifestyle of abundance, giving to God the first part of whatever we have, and God is going to bless us? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that you have given us, Lord. We could gather like this on the phone and we could hear your word. Father, for the last couple of times, you have been speaking to us so clearly about giving. Lord, I pray that you give us that vision of giving freely. Lord, freely we have received from you. Freely let us give. Let us do things because you have done everything freely for us. I pray for my brothers and sisters on the phone this evening. I pray over their lives. Lord, if any one of them are under debt or, Lord, suffering with a scarcity mentality, I pray that you pull them out, that they will open their eyes and see the God for whom the cattle on a thousand hills belong, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the God of all riches. Lord, help us to know that we are the children of the King and that we will live in the greatness and fullness of God. Father, I pray blessings, Lord, as we are going to pray for different needs right now and different prayer points. I pray that you help us to join together. Help us not to be distracted for the next 1 hour. I pray that help us all to, Lord, concentrate and focus on whatever we are praying. And I pray that this prayer would be wonderfully answered as we pray for one another. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' precious name we pray.